the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Data Interchange Version 3.3 or COS Lessons Learned from Support. Today's presenter is John Kirkwood. John is a senior software engineer providing technical customer support for WebSphere Data Interchange and WebSphere Partner Gateway. He has assisted hundreds of customers worldwide with installing and implementing WebSphere Data Interchange. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome, everybody. I see a few familiar names. Glad you could make it. And welcome to all the new names I see. You can go to slide two now, Joseph. And what we're going to cover today is WebSphere Data Interchange 3.3. And I'm going to, first of all, go over the software requirements, and that includes optional software as well. Just going to give you some updates as to currency regarding, the newer levels, as WDI has been out, the 3.3 version, has been out for 3 years now. So we have made some updates for currency. Then I'll go through all of the installation steps in the installation guide. And interjected amongst these steps, I will go through migration considerations, such as lessons learned. Then I'll go through operational changes, and then CICS considerations, which is just specific to those using CICS. Then I'll go through some known problems that are unrelated to the installation, just to kind of give you a heads up, see if you're using any of these features. You can go to slide three now. First of all, as probably most of you are aware, WDI 3.2.1 for ZOS does have an end of support date of the 26th of April this month. And as far as the ZOS-based operating system requirements, as per the installation guide and the software requirements, version 1.6 is the minimum, and we have provided currency for this. You'll see at this link that I give, for version 1.9 and above. Realize we haven't tested all of the latest version releases of the operating system. However, we don't anticipate any problems. Moving on to the DB2 system requirements, per the announcement letter, of course, 3 years ago, version 7 was what was current then. We, of course, support version 8, and per the link here, DB2 version 9 as well. If you're using DB2 version 9, you do want to be aware of a particular problem that was identified. I give the symptom there, as well as the DB2 APAR and PTF that you would need to apply. Slide 4. Continuing with software requirements, the XML toolkit for ZOS version 1.9 is specifically needed. You can't use older or newer levels of the toolkit with WDI 3.3. It does need to be this specific level, although this isn't needed for all functions of WDI, but it is needed for data transformation or for submitting server commands via WDI client. As far as the client is concerned, it does run on Windows, of course, and per the announcement letter, we support Windows 2000, Windows XP. We've also, for currency, added Windows Vista and Windows 2003. And I gave you some links to those statements. Regarding the connectivity software for DB2, so you can connect to the host database, that is called DB2 Connect. We do support version 8.2 or the version that's compatible with your DB2 level. And I did note here, using non-DB2 ODBC connectivity software has not been tested and is not officially supported. Slide number 5. Okay, continuing with now optional software, CICS. If you're using that, we do make a statement in the announcement letter that version 2.3 is supported. We have, for currency's sake, also included 3.1 and 3.2 of CICS. And as far as certain functions of WDI 3.3, which are new for 3.3, we do require the IBM SDK for ZOS, Java 2 Technology Edition, version 1.4, we do give you a specific SR level 6 And this is used by the WDI Common Event Handling Java API, which, again, is new on 3.3, not something that you had on 3.2. And it's also used for XML transformation under CICS. On slide 6, now we'll start to get into the installation piece, and I'll start with just a quick overview here. I'll give you a link to the install guide, of course, that is absolutely necessary. You need to follow all the instructions therein. And just kind of a note here, what I find very useful are these three tables. Table 5 is for a new customer. Table 6 is for existing customers, you know, who are migrating. And table 7 is for CICS. Now, of course, you have to finish the ZOS portion of the install, like table 5 or 6, before starting on the CICS installation. Slide 7. I'm going to go through step by step, you know, based on the installation guide step numbers. That's what you see at the top. The steps 1 through 10 are all about the SMPE functions. And the key points here is to take very close note of the DDDef entries for the call live definitions. These are necessary to resolve external references to the other products that we work with, which is CB2, WMQ, and CICS. If you know, WMQ is optional, and so is CICS. So if you do not have, you know, this optional software, then what you would do is replace the DDDef library name with a library that we provided that provides sub programs that will link into our module so it will run effectively. Then the next thing you'll do is you'll allocate the distribution of target libraries. Then you do the basic receive, apply, and accept with SMPE. And then, of course, I think it's important for everyone to apply recent cumulative maintenance to avoid any known defects. Slide number 8. All right. We're moving on to now step 11 in the installation guide. This is the creation of the DB2 objects for 3.3. One key point here is you need to use a TSO user ID, such as EDI-ENU-33, and it will require DB2 sysAdm authority. And that's mainly due to the fact that we have storage groups defined up front and then the actual database itself requiring that authority. Once that's done, you actually could bring down the authority level to DBAdm instead. But it is important that you use this ID, you know, to set the current SQL ID to that ID, EDI-ENU-33, when you create all of the objects, because that is very much used throughout the remainder of the installation. So that is a very key point. So whatever you don't have to use EDI-ENU-33 as the name. You can alter that, but of course it needs to be different from your 3.2 level if you have that. And it's also important that whatever ID you use would also need to be the high-level qualifier for all of the tables and views, et cetera, that are created. Now, another key part of 3.3, which is different from 3.2, is that it is a Unicode database on 3.3, so it does require code page conversion of ZOS. For details about DB2 and Unicode, you can see the DB2 installation guide, customizing support for Unicode section. If you encounter an error in batch, this, I give you the example here, that the SNT408i, if you do encounter this particular error, that means it is not set up properly for Unicode, and what the resolution is to add the conversion. And I give you a command there for display uni, comma all, that will give you all of the available conversions on your system. One key point here, the last bullet, you need to make sure EDIS DB2 runs to all the way to completion. There are important insert statements towards the end, and if those import statements, you know, are not done, then WDI 3.3 will not initialize. Slide number 9. And now that we've created all of the objects for DB2, we're moving on to step 11 for the install guide. The customer is migrating from a previous release. You just keep in mind that the previous release must be executable for the duration of the migration, because subsequent jobs will refer to that version, and we use just the normal utilities to export from that system. And that includes data like maps, data formats, standards, you know, et cetera. If you're installing on the same DB2 subsystem, you have to use a different SQL ID and matching high-level qualifier. As I said before, I'm just reemphasizing that. And EDI ENU 3.2 is what we provide for, you know, out of the box for version 3.2. And EDI ENU 3.3 is for 3.3. Again, they must be different. That is, between 3.2 and 3.3. You can change those high-level qualifiers, but again, just to emphasize, for 3.3, the high-level qualifier must match the user ID when you're creating the objects. There is a PTF level prerequisite for being able to do the migration from 3.2. That is UK 10658. You do need to have this PTF applied in order to have all of the database changes that were made during the life of 3.2. And as the last bullet says, there may be other PTFs required depending on what functions you use, and we're going to cover this later. Slide number 10. Okay, continuing with step 11, the sub-bullets 4 and 5 enable new features of version 3.3, which use DB2 stored procedures. This is the introduction of stored procedures in the WDI environment. We did not have this in the previous versions or releases. I have another webcast, which I give you the link to it here, which does go through the configuration of the stored procedures. It very much augments what is currently in the installation guide. So I highly suggest going through that when you're going through this part of the installation. And also part of that presentation, I go through the features that are needed, or I mean the features that actually use the stored procedures. So they are mainly the new functionality of 3.3. So you may not need to implement the stored procedures if you don't use the particular features. And if you do, you can remove these stored procedure definitions from the EDIS DB2 creation member and from the bind package, from the bind member. Slide number 11. Okay, now I'm going to go through the steps 12 through 15. This is pretty much the easy parts of the DB2 activity. And the step 12 is just going to do some preliminary load data. It's not the default data or anything like that. It is just some of the base information that WDI needs to initialize. Then we're going to go into step 13, which is the run stats. That's what you would do next. And step 14 binds the plan, which is, of course, matches the high-level qualifier again in this case, which is EDI ENU 3.3. Now, the plan EDI ENU 3.3 is used for all WDI batch processing. Also, regarding the bind job, it has the stored procedure package bind. You can remove that if you're not using those features, as I discussed earlier. Step 15, of course, is just doing the grants to authorize the DB2 objects to the users, and this is done by a spoofy. Slide 12, please. Okay, now we're going on to step 16 in the install guide. We're going through import of default data. This is job EDIJ.1. It runs the main utility for 3.3. So successful completion of this is actually a basic validation or verification that WDI 3.3 components were installed correctly. This does load sample data transformation and functional acknowledgement maps, setup profiles, and some other things that are imported. It does not migrate data from the previous release, not yet anyway. And then at this point, after completion of this job, we are looking at WDI in a new install state. Slide 13. Okay, step 16. This is where we're starting the import of the default. This is the lessons learned for importing the default data, which is that job EDIJ.1. There's some problems that we've had at the support center. We're going to run through these four quickly. The step log concatenation must contain the version 3 release 3 SCDI LMD1 load live. Do not put in the 3.2 or 3.1 version of the same. If EDI J.1 encounters an OC1 abend, the likely cause would be from using the SCDI LMD2 instead of SCDI LMD1. You've got to change that back to SCDI LMD1 because that's for batch CDI-LND2 is actually for CICS and will not run in batch. The third bullet is EDI JDAT1 encounters an OC4 in EDI IOS. It's probably because it's APF authorized, and you can either remove the APF authorization or you can apply this PTF, UK43744, to 3.3 to fix that, you know, or, like I said, you can remove the APF authorization. And there's a command there to check to see if it is APF authorized. Last bullet, if EDI JDAT1 fails, if the program fails attempting to initialize the service director, see this link, and that will go over the steps to go through to isolate the problem. If DB2 errors, like SQL codes, are not present in the job log, then it's likely the inserts were not run successfully at the end of EDI SDB2, inserting step 11. Slide 14. Okay, steps 17 through 8, or 17 and 18, these are the probably the most difficult jobs to run during the migration process. It does make heavy use of export-imports. Step 17, you know, or in general, step 17 and 18, what we're going to do is we're going to migrate your EDI standards, data formats, maps, control strings, schemas, profiles, code lists, and validation tables, and translate tables. Now, this does, as I said before, the previous release must be operable for this to work because it does just use the utility programs of WDI on 3.2 or 3.1, depending on what you're migrating from. Step 17, specifically what it's doing is it builds a control file, which is used later in step 18 to do the export from the prior release. So it just basically builds a list of all the objects that are going to be exported. You can see there I've got EDIJ XPAD is for 3.2 and 3.1 if you're using DB2 for 3.1. Job EDIJ XPAV is for 3.1 using VSAM. That's if you're migrating from 3.1. Step 18 exports from the prior release and imports into version 3.3 the complementary jobs depending on where you're migrating from. You've got EDIJ EXPD for 3.2 and 3.1. And then if you're using VSAM with 3.1, it's a different job, EDIJ EXVD. Slide 15. Okay, we're going to get into the specifics of steps 17 and 18 coming up. For step 17, EDIJ XPAD, the lessons learned that we've had problems from customers is the job log concatenation. It is important that where you see in the existing job live, where you see the SEDI V3RX, now notice that comes from the 3.3 distribution. So be sure to specify the appropriate X in these. You know, I showed the little X, and that's showing you where the X is 2 when you're migrating from 3.2, or it's 1 when migrating from 3.1. If BDIJ XPAD encounters an OC1 ABN, likely cause would be from using the wrong SEDI-LND1 in the job live. You do want to make sure the SEDI-LND1 in the job live that you have is for the previous release, not the new release. We'll change it back. If EDIJ XPAD fails with a program that failed attempting to initialize service director, and if DB2 errors are not present, then the likely cause would be from incorrect PARM data that we have in the I give you an example here. Where don't insert commas in these PARMs. They do need to be separated by spaces. And lastly, on EDIJ XPAD, if UK47190 is not applied to your 3.2, the control file may be incomplete for some translation tables and code lists, hence leading to missing tables on 3.3, so you may want to apply that PTF to 3.2. Prior to running this. It is not a real pervasive problem. However, it is difficult to determine which ones would not be migrated. Slide 16. I'm going to go into step 18. This is the most difficult job during the migration process. I'm going to have quite a few slides on this coming up. Just in general, this is the job step breakdown. There are multiple steps. There's actually 8 steps in total. The first two are really just allocating, you know, deleting and allocating the files needed. Then step 3 is where it gets into the meat of the job, and this is going to do the export from the previous release. And again, it is using just our main utility program, EDIFFUT. Step live concatenation, again, is very important. Make note of what I have here and just ensure that you are using the right X in these methods, that lowercase x, where it's 2 when migrating from 3.2 or 1 when from 3.1. There are some exceptions when you have the SCDI V3R2. Should not be used when specific 3.2 PTS are applied, and I'll make note of those as we go through the discussion later. Steps 4 through 8, this is where we're doing the imports of the previous release data that was just exported, and this is basically done in by category of data. Like step 4 is for standard, step 5 is for data format, step 6 is for maps, step 7 is for profiles, step 8 are for tables. And again, the important thing here, just make sure the step live does contain the 3.3 version of SCDI LMD1, because now we're using the same utility, but now the 3.3 version to do the importing. Slide 17. Okay, now I'm going to go through step 18, EDIJ, EXPD, export lessons learned, in other words, step 3. So if I'm going to go through some very particular problems here. I won't get into all the, won't elaborate on all these messages and such, but they're there for your reference. But if you're running step 3 and you encounter these particular errors below, you will need a PTF applied to your 3.2 system, which is UK54366. And that is a particular problem that has come up. It is not general. Not all customers will encounter this. But again, it is somewhat pervasive, though, so I really highly recommend applying 54366 before doing the migration. If step 3, export of a specific data format hangs, like in other words, it's looping, then PTF UK39721 would need to be applied to 3.2, and this is in one of those cases where I said you're going to need to edit the step live and step 3 to comment out the SCDI V3R2 library. If step 3, export of map, do not include comments, in other words, just comments that we have on maps, then you would need to apply PTF UK27714 to 3.2, and again, edit the step live for SCDI V3R2 out of that step. And if step 3 encounters a Baker 37, which is an out-of-space admin, and the following error against this particular table, the CD, then you need to apply UK12324 to 3.2. Again, these are all, you know, problems that we've seen, you know, from other customers, and just trying to give you a good heads up. Let's go to slide 18. Now we're moving on to the import phase of EDIJ EXPD. Step 4. The first bullet here is talking about a performance improvement. If you're finding that importing standards is taking a long time, you can improve the performance pretty dramatically by including a couple of new indexes. I give you a link for doing that. And it's also important to note on that first bullet that, especially if you're doing running this job again, you know, for a second time or third time, and you're replacing standards, this is when it even becomes more important to have those indexes. It will save you a lot of CPU time. The second bullet, step 4, fails with an EI0025 error, then you need to apply a PTF UK24746 to 3.3, and realize, again, now that we're into the import phase, the fixes I'm going to be talking about now are really talking about 3.3 fixes. Now we're moving on to step 5. Just be aware, data format record ID information objects that are not tied to any data formats will not be migrated, but this implies that they're not in use anyway, so I don't think that's not really a problem. If you're trying to count, though, you know, how many record ID info rows you have in the old and the new, you might not see a match, and this could be why. Step 6 has to do with importing maps and control strings, and it kind of has a similar problem in terms of if you don't have a control string tied to an existing map, it will not be migrated because during the export process, we are using the map name as part of bringing along the control string. So therefore, if they're not tied to any maps, then they will not be carried forward. But these are typically detached control strings anyway. In other words, if you went to look to your maps, you wouldn't even see the map name here. So in other words, that's why I call them detached. And I give you some SQL here if you want to identify control strings in 3.2 that don't exist in 3.3. That way you might be able to check to see if any of them might be in use. But again, it's pretty unlikely that a detached control string would actually be in use. Step 6 again, if you're importing a 3.1 map, so this is specifically if you're coming from 3.1, and if you find the step is looping, then here's a PTF, UK33664 for 3.3. Slide 19. Okay, continuing with step 18, still talking about EDIJ EXPD. This is still part of the import process. We're on to the last step, though. This is step 8. And if you run into this particular error here for when you're importing the validation table, then you will need to apply UK12324 to your 3.2 system. I did forget to put that in here on this slide, so make a note of that, if you will. But that UK12324 is for 3.2, and you need to apply it there and then rerun EDIJ EXPD from the beginning. Okay, step 8, import of validation tables, encounters the following errors. That EI0047 is just saying which table is being imported, and make note of how I put that in bold. If you have a table with a 103 starting point, we did have a problem years ago with those tables having been provided incorrectly. So if you encounter this particular error message against any table starting with 103, the character is 103, it is very likely this problem. And if you kind of the first sub-bullet under there is telling you that EDI-PSTV holds the entries for all the code lists, and EDI-PSTD is where the tables, the code lists and such are actually defined. So it has an entry for each of the tables. Now this latent EI-0025 that occurs on import is actually the result of the key length being incorrect on these tables starting with 103. And basically, in other words, our definition of the table has the wrong key length where it's in. Let's go to slide 20. I have the key lengths talked about here on the top of slide 20. The incorrect key length on the source system is causing the export to generate a duplicate entry, thereby encountering the latent error on import. To resolve this, you need to update the DB2 table on the source system, i.e. 3.2, such that the key length matches the needed value. And on this, for these tables starting with 103, you would use Spoofy, run this update SQL statement. And again, the key that you would put in there is actually the key from the previous methods that we saw in the previous slide. And what we're doing is we're setting the key length to 3 from a 2, and that fixes the problem. Now, since the problem was occurring on the source system, since that's where the problem really lied, you do need to rerun EDIJ EXPD from the beginning if you encounter this error. Now, it's just kind of a note here, a couple of notes, is don't assume, if you get this particular error on tables that don't start with 103, then don't just assume setting to key length of 3 pertains. That would be something you probably would need to call us for. I don't know of any other tables, though, that have encountered this problem besides those for 103. And another option is if you don't require this table, because these are really old standards, by the way. This is, 2010, in other words, which is practically, about 20 years old, almost. So, anyway, the second note is just saying if you don't require that validation table anyway, you could just remove it from the export control file or delete the old table from the source system. Slide 21. Okay. Still talking about step 18 and EDIJ EXPD. Just kind of in general, I'm going to go through some recovery process if you do encounter failures. the failure occurs at step three, you can, you know, this is just in general. You know, I know I've gone through a lot of specific errors, and please take the action therein, you know, that I have for those particular errors. But these are just errors. If you just encounter some general errors on particular objects, a lot of times it could be due to just really old, outdated data in your old system, and you may not really need it anymore. So one quick way to resolve this problem is just to remove that failing object name from the control file and then rerun EDIJ-EXPD. For general failures, if you're failing in step 4 through 8, again, this is the import processing, you would do the same as above, or to avoid having to re-export again, you could remove the failing object right from the EI export-import file itself, but note, you do need to understand WDI export data for this to be effective. I mean, in other words, don't just start guessing as to what records to delete. I mean, you would need to be somebody skilled with WDI to know where that data begins and ends. So if you're the system programmer, then you would obviously need to go back to the application folks to get a good idea of this. Now, I give you a link. The last part of the slide is, if you're having to start over for one of these problems or another, you know, a lot of times it's best just to remigrate from scratch rather than just replacing objects. You know, it makes it nice and clean. It'll run faster. But for remigrate instructions, I do give you a tech note here which goes through that step by step. And it's really not very hard because you've already customized all of your JCL, et cetera, so it's really just a matter of rerunning it. Slide 22. Okay. More general recovery. If you run out of space on a DB2 table during the import, like, for example, you get the SQL code minus 904, that 00, the reason code 00D7-0014 is telling you that it's out of space. And the difficulty with, you know, you can't just drop that one table space and recreate it from scratch because of referential integrity constraints on many of the tables. So if you do run out of space, it's easiest just to start over, you know, and again, you can see those the remigrate instructions I had previously. And, of course, before you rerun it, you want to give the tables more space, the primary quantity and the secondary quantity space allocations, and those are in EDIS-DB2 when you created the objects. And just be aware that create table space and create indexes both contain these settings, those space settings. And lastly, on this slide, we have for just general purpose information, we do document what all of the WDI DB2 tables are and what they're for. It doesn't go into elaborate detail, but it does give you a high level, you know, of what each table is used for. And I give you a link here for all of the publications. You can go get the programmer's reference from here if you don't already have it. Slide 23. Okay, step 19. We're moving on from the export-import. What I would call the difficult steps. Now we're moving on to step 19, which is really about verifying the installation. You know, since we've already used EDIFFUT when we ran EDIJ.1 during step 16, this gave us already a basic validation that the product was installed correctly. But to check whether the data migrated correctly, this is where you need to use WDI clients. And of course, you need to set up your database connectivity for client server mode, which uses DB2 Connect. And we give you some information on this in Chapter 2 of the user's guide. And just kind of, you know, to verify, just open each of the object types. You know, if you're a new customer, you would just be checking what we provide as default data. If you're an existing customer, of course, you're going to have a lot more data. That's going to be the data you've just migrated. And just check each type. Make sure you can open everything and check things out. Slide 24. Okay, step 20. This is where I'm going to go through some of the operational changes. Again, these are documented in the install guide. But just to go over them quickly, we did remove the TSOC list and the CICS EDIA from the 3.3. In other words, now everything is done through the client. In other words, there's no more green screen. Event logging you'll find on the view menu. The transaction store is replaced by the new document store, is what we call it. The document store supports similar features as the transaction store, of course, which what you were used to on 3.2, but it also captures information on for data transformation for all the various formats, EDI, XML, and ADF. And the administrator menu functions for translating, enveloping, and networking are enabled on WDI Client 3.3 via the DB2 stored procedures we talked about, Step 11. Just familiarize yourself with the new features. Slide 25. Okay, continuing on the operational changes, just kind of some highlights here. We've got the functional acknowledgement maps that we do provide and also service segment validation maps. We did have to change the first character from a dollar sign to an ampersand. That was due to the Unicode support on 3.3. And just some basic, kind of just to give you a heads up on the things that you would need to change. In other words, taking your previous 3.2 JCL, you would, of course, need to change the middle qualifier to version 3 release 3, and the DB2 plan name accordingly changed. And then you also make sure to point to the new XML toolkit version, as what was used for 3.2 is not the same as for 3.3. And for 3.1 customers, just notice that if you're using the API, translator API, we do have control block changes. And just if you're using VSAM with 3.1, you're going to have to start over with your JCL, and I give you the sample member that we provide to do that, which is EDI util D. Slide 26. Okay, step 21. Moving on to migrating operational data, which this is basically the transaction store and management reporting and SAP's status data, and it migrates it only from 3.2. There's no support for 3.1 in this regard. And for 3.2 customers, you need to have at least this PTF, UQ80131, be applied to 3.2 for this to function properly. If you don't have that, it will not run. Appendix B does provide the steps that you go through for migrating this operational data. We first are binding the plan to do the unload, granting permission to that plan. Then we're unloading the data from your 3.2. Then we're going to bind the plan for the load processing portion and then grant permission to the load plan, and then finally loading the data into 3.3. This job is designed to be rerun, but just be aware it will replace all existing records in 3.3. Which I think that's what it should do anyway, since you're probably just doing it over again. Okay, slide number 27. Just the one lesson learned on this particular job for the migrating operational data. You might encounter an SQL code 100 on this particular step, MIG-TSEV, in the job, which is doing the load. And I give you the messages that come out in the job log. If you see that SQL error code 100, you can either just ignore it, or we have changed it, so in the code we will just ignore it and give a zero return code, but I wouldn't say you need to apply this PTF, but just for your information. Slide 28. Okay, moving on to Chapter 3. That now completes previous to this, we've just completed the ZOS, or what I would call the batch, part of the installation. Now we're moving on to some highlights for WDI for CICS. Just say, again, reemphasizing, we do support version 2.3 all the way up through 3.2. Just realize we do need the LE environment in CICS for WDI to function, and I give you a reference for a particular publication for CICS transaction server. You also need to enable C++ in CICS, and I give you the reference there as well. And CSD, DFHRPL, and IO stream considerations. There's another section and another guide here for preparing CICS for use with ZOS LE. And just make sure to review those sections that I give here if you are installing a CICS. These are important. Slide 29. Continuing with the CICS install portion, for XML translations and or error notification, which is a new feature, not the XML part, but the error notification is new for 3.3. You do have to have Java SDK 1.4 with a particular service level 6. And if you're running XML under CICS, we actually do not use the XML toolkit that is used only for batch, because for CSTS we use the embedded XML4J parser, which is a Java version of the parser. Then you would follow steps 23 through 37 just to define the various WDI elements to CICS. You know, just a key note here is do not use your previous 3.2 definitions, because, you know, if you do the PPT, PCT, and you migrate them from 3.2, well, there have been significant changes. You've got to go and get the new versions of those from the 3.3 libraries and customize them. Then step 34, just a note there, that's where we're enabling XML support. It is optional. If you're not using XML under CICS, you don't need to run that. Step 35 enables error notification. Again, it's optional if you're not using that feature. And let's slide 30. Now I'm going to switch gears here, and that basically completes the installation, migration considerations section. And I've gone through all of the lessons learned, so to speak, regarding the migration process itself. Now what I'm going to go through are just some highlights of problems that we've encountered that are just specific to 3.3. I'll start with the batch or the ZOS portion. There are a couple of conditions here for SQL code -991. The first one here being that if you're running exec program equals BDIFFUT instead of the TSO attach program, IKJEFT01, you may encounter this error. Now, to fix this, you will need to apply PTF 38001 to 3.3, or you can add this parameter, CAF, that's for call attachment facilities, what that means. But CAF, parentheses 1, you can add that to your EDITSINDD to also get around the problem. The second 991 error here is pretty particular. I don't expect a lot of customers to see this, but, again, wanted to be thorough. If you're using program IKJEFT01, which is the opposite of the first problem, but you also have EDITSIN allocated, which is really it's actually redundant and wasn't ever even suggested, but we have had a customer that did use that. But just realize that if you do have EDITSINDD and you're using that IKJEFT01 program, then you might see these arrows, these errors that I document here. To resolve it, you would either just remove the EDITSINDD because it's really just redundant anyway, because the same information is basically provided in SysTSIN, or alternatively, you can add CAF0 or CAF N to the EDITSINDD, or lastly, apply the PTF, UK55250, to 3.3. The PTF is not yet available, but I did give you a link here if you want to track it. Slide 31. Continuing with the batch side, again, these errors are for, you know, the previous slide and this slide. We're talking about when you're starting to run your tests. You're starting to run your utility programs that do the translation, et cetera, on 3.3. And if your first invocation of the translator encounters this SQL code -189, it means that the EDIJ bind, you know, when you bound the plan for 3.3, you somehow either removed or deleted the encoding, which must be Unicode. So you'll have to change your bind back to the way it's provided, and put Unicode back on there. But there's a segmented Y keyword for, so if you're using perform print transaction, it is not segmenting the EDI image as it should. And I give you the PTF number for that. Again, these are all now for 3.3. If you're using perform print set a summary, the interchange control number and date, they may not be output. You'd need this PTF here, UK54128. If you're doing the new command, which is for if you're using the remote job submission, that if you're doing the new command, you will need to use this remove submissions function to clean that up. Or actually, you can do it online with the WDI client as well, but you probably would want to run this in batch regularly if you're using that feature. And what you're going to see is you'll get this error because there's a typo in the documentation. It should be plural. So it should be perform remove submissions, not perform remove submission. And there's a sporadic OC4 ABANS in EDI-ELAS. And not many people have really run into this, but anyway, if you do, you start seeing an ABAN in that particular module, it's very likely to be this resolved by this PTF for 3.3. Slide 32. Okay, this slide is going to go over some document store reconstruct issues. This is all related to functionality that is provided on WDI client, which is, of course, using the stored procedures, as I talked about before. If you're reconstructing individual interchange from the document store, WDI might return all interchanges for the same trading partner. So you want to be aware of this problem, and this, again, lists the PTF for that. And if the QData data reference, you have new catalog, WDI client is incorrectly setting that to keep. So in this case, you would apply the client 6-pack 4 or above. We're up to 9 now, 6-pack 9, that is. Third sub-bullet, if you dynamic file creation, if it ends with this particular error, you may need to apply this, PTF UK46257. And then I give you another dynamic file creation problem or scenario here if you see these messages. This basically is due to the fact that the dynamic files that are being created, you have so many of them that we're actually stepping on, you know, having to reuse the numbers that we're generating randomly. So you want to clean up the old dynamic files. Slide 33. Okay, just continuing on with just some general problems again. If you're using import in your map and you're importing just usages only, you know, this means you're doing this outside of the installation process. This is not part of the previous migration discussion. This is if you're just using your own batch utility, JCL, to do map usages only, you may encounter this error. And in that case, you would apply PTF UK36367. And there's a second bullet. We're talking about a case where in our sample JCL, we do not have SPSM exit in the job live or the step live. This hasn't been a real pervasive problem either, but again, we did change all of our sample with this PTF noted there to include that in the step live or job live. Technically, you should really have both SDSN exit and SDSN load in the job live or step live. The last bullet, talking about it's a WDI client issue. If you're opening, you know, you migrated your schemas, XML schemas over, and when you're opening one on 3.3 and you encounter this particular error, it's probably due to some of the CRLFs converted to EBCDIC, you know, which is a hex 0D25, and that those characters, if they're within the schema, then you'll need to apply 6-pack 7 for WDI client or above. Slide 34. Okay, now this slide is going to talk about again, still just general problems. This is specific to the API, so this only pertains to those running the translator API. If you get an ABAND 806, which is a module not found, you need to apply the PTF noted. Second bullet, if your API program is failing with an OC1 or an OC4 ABAND, that's an FXXE CVL, the problem is probably due to the R mode, A mode specification, which is if you have 24 and 24 for those respectively, that would be causing it. The one quick simple solution, if your program can handle the addressability mode 31, you could add R mode any, A mode 31 to your link edit JCL. That will resolve it. Or you can apply the CTF where we will support the old R mode 24 and A mode 24. Again, the PTF is not yet available, but it will be soon. Okay, slide number 35. Okay, this now is in particular to just Tradecoms, those using the standard EDI standard Tradecoms for UNTDI. WDI is erroneously adding the SCH segment at the beginning of the message. For this, you would need to apply the PTF noted. And the second problem with Tradecoms, now this is for inbound Tradecom data. If you have multiple or many transactions within the interchange or within the file, you may see an infinite loop or a signal 11. I gave you the PTF there as well. Slide 36. Okay, for this slide, I'm getting into now CICS specific issues. I think I have two slides for this. So if you're using batch only, this is not for you. You don't need to do anything with this. This is just for CICS users. If you're running EDIFFUT in the background, in other words, calling it from a background task, you may encounter this particular error from, where WDI does not process the data, and that has to do with we're misinterpreting the start code. And again, you have to apply a PTF. If you've applied maintenance to 3.3 and you encounter this particular error, the TR0840, then that would be PTF UK50043. Slide 37. Again, specific to CICS. If you get an ASRA, an EDIDT-UTL, when running particular XML to ADF-DT map, or your transaction-level response program is not being executed, then you would need to apply this PTF. Second bullet, if you find WDI performance is degrading, you know, this is very specific to a memory leak, but you have to be in a situation where you're calling EDIFFUT over and over and over and over again in the same CICS task, then you would need this PTF, UK55276. Slide 38. And in summary, if you don't find anything in this presentation, I tried to make it so it stands by itself, so customers who are just embarking on the migration process will be able to just go through it. If you don't find a hit, you know, in here, then, of course, please go to the support portal. We have all kinds of information out there, and we'll keep it as up-to-date as we can to let you know, create awareness so that everybody can see the known problems that we have. And slide 39. Now, there's just some links here to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere in general, not just the State Interchange. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. That's what we're doing now. And so you can see about any other exchanges or webcasts that you might like. And you can also find references to previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. And visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up and learning. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And lastly, the My Notifications link, which is very good. I would highly recommend, if you're specifically interested in WDI, then you can set the notifications up just for WDI if you want, or you can go for other products as well. Any product that interests you. And that's it, Joseph. Over to you for slide 40.
Thank you, John, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Sherry, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, we show no questions.
Thank you, Sherry. Now, I do see a question coming in from the group chat, which is directed at me. So, John, I'm going to announce a question verbally over the phone, and hopefully you'll be able to answer them. So the first question here comes from a gentleman named Stan Townsend, and his question is, what was the job that should run after UK12324 is applied?
What is the job? Is there a particular, you know, I know what that PTF is for. Let me see if I can go find it here. But the key part about it is if you're encountering, look at slide 17. Okay, slide 17, you can see it there at the bottom, the last bullet. Basically what's happening in that last bullet is in step 3, if you get a Baker 37 out of space, you know, on this particular DD name, EDIEITBL, it's very likely that you don't have UK12324 applied to 3.2. And what's happening is it's in a loop, and it's adding records that, you know, with the loop contains I.O. in it, so it ends up just, you know, going over and over and over again until that table finally fills up. There's also, let's see if it's slide 18. Slide 19 also talks about the CTF. This is another error condition you might see from it. Now, it's happening much later in this case. The previous case was happening during the export. In this case, it's happening on the import. And, again, it's very much related, except we didn't. We must have broke out of the loop. And instead, for now, step 8 is run because you didn't notice that. But now that the data is not formatted correctly and you end up getting the FM0100, you know, during the import part. And again, that is very indicative of that particular PTF, UK12324. And the key part here is if you run into either of those symptoms and then you go back and apply the PTF, you're going to need to rerun EDIJ EXPD from the beginning. Hopefully that answers the question.
Thank you, John. And Sherry, just wondering, I'm receiving a couple of more new questions in the web conference. I was just wondering, Sherry, if you can kindly give out the instructions for posting questions verbally over the phone and then kind of open it up again.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. First participant is Marshall Swanson. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi, Marshall.
Okay, John.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, did I understand you to say that we lost EDIA on this release?
Yes.
How about EDIB?
No. EDIB is, that's for the main utility.
Okay.
Yeah. Just EDIA, which is the green screens. You know,
right.
What used to use DDDM.
Yeah, well, on 3.2, you can still get to the logs, but...
You do that now from WDI client.
Yeah.
3.3, and it's just right under the view menu.
Okay. That was just the question. I wanted to make sure I had EDIB still.
Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah, all of the old, I mean, the only thing that we removed is, like I said, the green screen, you know, and EDIB is not anything related to that. That's translator.
Okay. Well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Sure. Nice to hear from you, too.
And our next question comes from Stan Townsend. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi, Stan.
Yeah, I got a question. I missed part of the first part of the presentation, but anyways, you mentioned PTF UK12324.
Yes.
What was the job that needs to be run after that? I sort of missed that.
Let's see. I think that's what I was trying to.
You said EDIJSP, but was that really what it was or something like that?
EDIJEXPD.
Okay, EXPD.
EDIJEXPD.
Okay.
And there were two different places where I mentioned that PTF. You can see on the webcast here on the screen, it's the first place is on this on the bottom, slide 17. And this is if you were to encounter a loop with the IO, which is causing that out of space condition on that DD. That's one symptom that's indicative of that problem that's fixed by the PTF.
Okay. And another question I got, I don't think I saw it in your presentation for us here, but where can you download the client or can you download the client?
Well, it depends on how you order it. It comes, if you ordered it electronically, it should be, you know, it should be part of the actual downloaded data.
Okay. So how would it be packaged, or if that's the case, well, how would I know, or what would it be, a bunch of files?
You know, I don't have specifics on that. When did you order it?
I think it was like about 3 weeks ago or so.
Yeah, let me get you a link. Let me get you a number.
Sure.
Taking a minute to. Do you have any other questions while I'm.
Yeah, I guess one other one. I did talk to you earlier about some of the jobs I'd have to rerun for the version 3.2 system to prepare for the migration. And you said there were some EDIS DDL jobs. And, anyways, I've applied or did an apply check on some of the maintenance, and I only came up with jobs like 11, 16, 17, and 18. And it sounds like there's probably a lot more jobs than that for the DDL, you know, modifications of the tables.
Yeah, you're saying that's what you currently have? But
yeah, I went through all the hold actions, and those were the only four jobs I noticed that had to be rerun. And I went and checked my PTS and the the install data set. Now, I didn't see any in there, right now. So I assume that all these jobs get copied over with the maintenance that gets applied.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly where I'm from. Yes. And each one of those different members is coming from a different PTS, in other words.
Yeah. So I know I've got a few more PTS, but I thought it might be good if there's any way you could tell me, like, what are the numbers. That way I know I've got all the maintenance applied. And then, you know, that way I get all the right jobs to convert that database.
Yeah, and I would suggest, if I remember right, you had the case where you didn't have the minimum prereq PTF, which is really somewhat old already, right? It's the June level,
yeah.
2006.
Yeah.
If you, I'm trying to think of how to describe this the best. If you're upgrading anyway, since you're going to need to upgrade 3.2 anyway to even do the migration, right?
Yeah.
I would apply all of these PTFs I mentioned in here that are.
Yeah, I've got all of them. Actually, all the ones you've got, those are the ones I applied. And there are some more I found out. I've got other prereqs and other stuff that, you know, I need to, like, apply to. I just got those last night. I downloaded those. So maybe I will get more. You know, I'm sure I'll get a few more of these DDL jobs. But I just thought it would be good to, like, have to know up front, you know, what's the range? Is it, like, 1 through 20 or what? That way I know I've got everything.
I can't remember offhand. It's something like 18. I just.
Because 18 is the highest numbered one, so I assume I've got 1 through 18.
You know, you might not have some of them because depending on the prereq chain, I mean, some of them aren't adding columns, you know, and making actual structural changes to the DB2 tables. That's what's important here, that we get all the, you know, the database changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, done. And some of those members might be just doing a grant. Some of those members might be just doing a, like, an alter on a table to,
okay.
you know, to just change
so,
it for you.
So I shouldn't be that worried. I've only got 4 so far, even though it looks like there might be 18, because the highest numbered one is 18.
Yeah. I mean, you should be good. I mean, as long as you run the hold actions for those PTFs, as they're called out, that's what's important.
Okay.
I mean, you might not have all the members, like I said, because some
right.
of them aren't actually structurally changing the tables, so they might not be included in the prereq chain.
Right. Okay. Okay, that's good to know. I just want to make sure I don't miss something.
Yeah, sure. Good question.
Yeah, okay, good. And I guess you'll get that web link later. You can email me or
oh yeah, let me see
the client download or
yeah, for WDI clients replacement, or actually it's, you know, for replacement software, you would call 1-800-879-2755.
Okay.
1-800-879-2755.
Okay, great.
And what you'll need to have is order numbers and, you know, customer number. Those are going to be pretty important. And
okay, sure.
If you've done it pretty recently, it's a pretty easy process, I believe. At least that's my experience so far.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I'll call him. All right. Thanks a lot. I guess I'll.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question from Michael Andrews.
Yes. Hi, John.
Hello.
I do not do installation, but I use the product, and I have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
First one has to do with the reference to the green screen.
Yeah.
We do have the ICIS installed here at Ryder, and I do use EDIW because of the CICS environment.
Mm-hmm.
Is EDIW or its function available in 3.3 Find?
Yes, it is. That's a real good question. I guess I made that statement a little too broadly, saying that all the green screen, that EDIW does still exist, and it is still usable on 3.3.
Super.
That actually is not a DDDM application. It's just a COBOL app, you know, with screen sends and receives, that kind
okay.
of stuff. Okay. So it's the DDDM requirement that has been removed.
Okay.
So EDIW is fine and still there. Very good question.
Yeah, and the underlink with that is that we do transmission with the GAIS network. Your product still coupled with GXX, right?
Well, it's, you know, the interface that we have for that is very, very old.
Okay.
You know, if you're, you know, the functionality that was there in 3.2 is carried forward in 3.3.
Okay.
But just beware. I mean, we're no longer testing that. I mean,
okay.
The support that we provide for the GEIS direct connection is really for a program that's not even supported anymore by GEIS. So, you know, again, it's a tough question because, you know, I think it should work, but again, I mean, I can't promise that.
Yeah, 3.2 currently works with it because that's what we're currently using.
Yeah.
And we've been working with them to make sure that it's working. as it has been. The other question I have...
By the way, you can always just use whatever DEIS provides, you know, and just use their own step to actually send the data. You know, in other words, if you, I forgot the name of the program that it uses.
I can find it in the product. The product may have it.
I'm just thinking, though, that, you know, with DEIS, I would assume you're given some sample JCL to do the sends and the receives, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they've given us those support JCLs. We've been using the old ones that we've had for many moons, and but
I'm
now that you've said it, maybe we need to probably start focusing on when we move to 3.3.
It might be a good idea. Like I said, that interface is so old. I mean, we're talking about 20 years.
Well, we've been around since that time using EDI 1.4. Oh, no, 4.0, you know, so.
All right.
Yeah, we've moved to, so we'll be moving to 3.3, I guess, very soon.
Okay.
The other question was that with the experiences that many customers had, maybe after installation of 3.3 and with the data conversion from 3.2 to 3.3, is it advisable to apply the PDFs to 3.2 before the installation, or wait until you have the error, then you apply the PDFs and rerun, you know, the whatever needs to be run?
That's a good question, too. Of course, from a support standpoint, I'm going to say apply all the maintenance. Right?
Yeah.
Especially the ones that I call out, right?
Right, right. Okay.
Just for preventive reasons.
I thought about that waiting, yeah.
Yeah, I also realized, though, that that's really a pain, you know?
Yeah.
To have to, you know, you're doing an upgrade to 3.2 before you're trying to upgrade to
3.3. Correct. So you have to do all the regression testing and all that stuff, too.
I mean, if you want to prevent the problems, that's key. The PTF that Stan had called out, which was that UK 12324, that one that's turning out to be pretty important. So, I mean, if you don't have that, which is, again, that's pretty old. If you don't have that, that one I would say is a minimum.
And that's the UK 12324. 24, okay, great. We're using 6.15. I'm not sure what TTF is level that one is. But
that could be relatively old, so you might not have that one.
Okay.
We're up to, I can't remember. 21? I can't remember what the fixed spec number is for 3.2, but it's somewhere around there.
Oh, okay.
So that means you could be several years behind.
Okay.
But that UK 12324 is a definite, that's been coming, I've got several PMRs on that already. So
okay.
I would say if you don't have that one, you really do want that one.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You know, and there is, well, anyway, I'll leave it at that because the other ones do start getting more specific. You know, and again, if you have the database changes already done,
yes.
You know, if you have that minimum PTS that is spelled out in the install guide, the application of the PTS for 3.2 are relatively easy.
Okay.
Because you're going to have hold actions, but it's mainly just going to be binds, you know, things like that.
Right.
And it's not that hard to do. And you could theoretically just apply the maintenance and then use the updated load modules from that maintenance, use it just for the migration process and still keep your production running with the old maintenance level.
Oh.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's an option. Now, the only way you can't do that is if you don't have the PTFs with the database changes.
Okay.
Because they won't be consistent. You'll be missing columns.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's where it gets a little tricky.
Right.
But if you do have at least the basic maintenance with the DB changes, then you're... You know, I think if you can just apply the maintenance for the migration only and just use, you know, your load libraries that you're using in production today, just continue to use them unupdated.
Okay.
So, anyway, good questions.
Thank you.
Anything else?
For me, that's it.
Okay.
I'm showing no further questions.
Thank you, Sherry. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.